The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
North American Wrestling Connection is sponsored by WrestleChat.net and the Freakin' Awesome Network. My name is not Nikki Haman, because Nikki Haman is at Gen Con. She admitted this. No kayfabe, no bullshit. So, here we go.
But you could be.
I could be, but I'm not. That voice, believe it or not, is someone who we rarely get to see outside of WLTI, but he is an absolute huge fan of the product. That would be Gordon Pepper. Welcome. First time here. Finally get you here. How you doing?
Finally. Thank you very much. You know, when I heard that there was an enhancement package going on, my first thought was, oh, well, maybe it could be in Eva Marie's pants.
No, that would be Eva Marie's chest, you say.
Either or the other.
The other, yes. And the third member of the team, of course, as I said, Chief High Muggity Muck Carl Schneider will be here in a minute, is Shotgun. How are you, sir?
A little myth, but we'll get to that.
We'll get to that in a minute. So we are now in week two of the new brand split, different programs and different elements. Now, Gordon, you haven't been here, but as a guy who has done with production, how do you like the way the WWE is splitting the program from a production standpoint?
Oh, should I be nice or should I be my old haterade self thing?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Okay, a little bit of both. Well, I like the product itself. I like the fact that they're really trying to push the new generation over the old generation, which, to be quite honest, you really do have to do. I mean, part of the biggest problems that WWE has had is that you have yet to take over the new this generation's of The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin, and it's sort of gone into a lull. Clearly, Seth Rollins is not the answer. Roman Reigns is not the answer. Dean Ambrose is not the answer. I have a feeling they think Finn Balor is going to be the answer. Maybe Brock Lesnar could be the answer. AJ Styles has certainly been the answer for a little bit. So I think in that aspect, they're doing what they need to do. They're throwing the bird off the cliff and seeing if it can fly. And that's exactly what you need to do in this situation.
Okay, and go ahead.
In terms of the bad, if you look on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, it's got that eerie WCW Monday Night Nitro feel to it, which didn't work when it was on Monday Night Nitro, and it doesn't work for me now. And what also doesn't work for me is people slamming the other product on the other side. The whole idea is to elevate everybody and not each group putting the other one down.
Okay,
so doesn't work for me.
Okay, but let's start with the fact we opened with Sasha Banks, the new women's champ, and they basically are setting up Sasha Charlotte 2 at SummerSlam, which I think is going to be an awesome match.
Great match, also, yes.
Yeah, and Charlotte interrupt, and we had a one night stand, and then we had Rockstar Jericho, who can get over pretty much anybody and can do anything. And basically, praises Charlotte. And then we had Enzo Amore come out, who I think is one of the most refreshing characters in a long, long time, you know, and makes a little how you doing with Sasha, which leads to, which is something we haven't seen in a while, Shotgun, which was a mixed tag match. We haven't seen that one in a while. No?
You know what else we haven't seen?
What's that?
It's actually being on the women.
I'm sorry?
Think about it. That whole mixed tag match, it was like, think about this. Mixed tag matches historically have been more about the guys, and the girls are really there as just placeholders. In this particular match, it was all about Sasha and Charlotte, and Jericho and Enzo, as over as they are, were, you know, there, you know?
That's absolutely correct, and that's an interesting switch, which we haven't seen, I think, in years, okay? Because that particular sense of the women being first is pretty special, okay? We had Dana Brooke, interrupting, of course, after Charlotte was claiming that, she could win it by herself, but yes, she's the dirtiest player in the game, okay?
And you know what?
Go ahead.
Sorry. I don't know what the consensus is on Dana Brooke. I actually quite like her in her current role.
She reminds me of a female Diesel, if that makes any sense. I think she's very raw right now, but I agree with the Spunk Master on this one. I think that I think that for starters, she's going to be good. I think that in her own right, she'll be good, but I think that's a perfect role for her. And I agree with Shotgun also in the fact that it's about time that they're showcasing the women, because you have Sasha and Charlotte, and it could literally be one of your main events at SummerSlam with everything that's running behind it. And I think you'll get just as much, if not even more, attention than Seth Rollins versus Balor.
Which we'll get to in a minute. So, of course, Jericho hits the Codebreaker on Enzo and then powders after Big Cass comes down. So, you know, we see the usual John Cena everywhere in the media. And then we have another segment, which was pretty funny. And I love how they do this. And again, this is a production element which I like, which is the idea of a squash match. Okay. And what I love about this is that you have Byron Saxton coming in and interviewing this guy who was Evan Anderholt, which is the second week they did this. And he's like, if I win, I get $5,000. If I lose, I get $1,000. And then the team says, oh, let's hope they pay the medical bills, you know, and all that stuff, which was kind of fun.
Well, you actually have two squash set matchups. You're building up Strowman as a monster, and you're also building up Nia Jax as a monster.
Right. Right, exactly. We're going to get to that in a minute, but yes, you're absolutely right. Okay. Absolutely, which is fine, but I love that. Now, I got to tell you, one of the doofus segments of the night, Shotgun, was the fact that the Golden Truth, where R-Truth was addicted to Pokemon Go so much that they lost the tag match against the Shining Stars. I'm sorry, that hit me in the right way, as sort of the doofus sort of thing.
Actually, I didn't much like it at all. And I'll tell you why, actually.
Okay.
It is very clear that they have no idea how Pokemon Go actually works. I think they're just doing it to stay relevant.
Yeah, I understand. They were doing it to stay relevant. Yes, I understand. Sure.
And that offends me as a Pokemon master.
Oh, of course. Oh, I see. Okay, fine.
I didn't like it for a different reason, which is they clearly do not know what to do with that tag team.
No, they don't.
Don't know. And now with the new teams coming in, you know, it's signaling for a Goldust R-Truth breakup of some sort, and I have yet to care for either of them.
Mm.
And that is the biggest problem in wrestling, is when I don't care, or when I find them an annoyance in a bad way and I want them off my screen.
Speaking of off screen, we actually have to say that we actually lost a team member of the WWE production team this week, and a longtime one, actually, because Lillian Garcia has left the WWE, not on her own volition, sadly.
Well, no, you knew that was going to happen. I think Cageside Seats pretty much predicted that was going to happen, and the only reason why it didn't happen sooner was that her father passed away.
No,
they weren't going to nail her at that point.
No, the father has not passed away yet.
But, same difference.
Yes, I understand. Yes, her father is ill with a couple of types of cancers, and, you know, she has to take care of him. We understand, but, again, a good, long-term run, but you did kind of expect this to happen. You did.
You did, and, of course, our thoughts and prayers go to the family of Lillian Garcia.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I do want to mention one thing, though, that you really haven't mentioned, but something that is actually that they did correctly, which you do care about. As much as I don't care about R-Truth and Goldust, I do care a lot because I think it's hysterical on the whole Heath Slater undrafted.
We're gonna get to
gonna be going.
Yeah, we're gonna get to that. We're gonna get to that, which I think is great. Okay, like I said, I'm just trying to do it in order, as we say. But you're right, because Heath Slater as the undrafted nobody has been perfect. He is, you're absolutely right. He plays that so perfectly because later on in the show, because we had the return, you know, shotgun of Jinder Mahal, okay, and a pretty aggressive Jinder Mahal, because Mick Foley said, you know, if you win, you'll get a contract, and Slater said, that's fine. What's his face? You know, Jinder will, you know, Jinder won't hurt me. And then all of a sudden, boom, he gets kicked for his trouble and Jinder Mahal's back on Raw.
And then will do absolutely nothing with him.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm sure Jinder Mahal is a really nice guy. And I really remind myself of Brian Alvarez when I say that.
Okay.
And I'm sure, and you know, he's never offended me in the ring. I just don't think they're really going to do anything with him.
Well, we'll see. Again, we'll see. It's still early. As I said, it's only 2 weeks. Now, they're setting up one of the main events of SummerSlam for the new Universal title. And believe me, I hate the fact that they're splitting the belts, but I understand. We all understand this. And the Finn Balor-Rollins promo was great. It's really awesome because you have two internet darling working guys just saying, I'm the better guy. And I like this. I like this a lot. I don't know how much of a fan you are, Gordon, but I know I am. All right. You're not a fan of these guys. Okay.
You know what? It's got nothing to do with being a fan of these guys or not. I'm just not a fan of the split belts.
I think
the way that they had it originally, which is, hey, whoever has the belt can go back and forth between shows, I actually thought they carried a lot more weight to it. I actually thought that was even a lot more fun. I don't like the two belts, because eventually what's going to wind up happening is, once this runs its course, and we all know it's going to run its course, then you just unify the belts. Yippee.
Yes, I know, but for now, you're right. But, still.
If I could just jump in on this one.
Sure.
I actually understand why they're bringing a second world title. The reason is twofold. Number one, if the original arrangement was that the champion was going to work both shows, you would quickly wear them down by the end of the year. Quickly, because they would have to make not only the Raw and SmackDown, they would have to make every house show. For both brands, every pay-per-view, forever. And
well, not necessarily. There are ways that you can do it so you can set it up. I actually think you're going to split up the house. If you're going to split up brands, you do it for a very different reason, which is this. And it's one of the problems that the WWE has had. Remember when I said before about not finding your next generation? You also do not have an upper card. Now you create, albeit artificially, but now you're going to create more of an upper card on both brands. You have most of the established upper card right now on Raw, and then you're going to be creating your upper card for the SmackDown brand on SmackDown. Again, you have John Cena and an AJ Styles that are going to be starting. And now, you know, again, let's see who's going to step up and be your upper card on SmackDown. Because right now, you don't have much of anything. You have an Intercontinental Champion upper card. You have a Tag Team upper card. You need a Heavyweight upper card. So hopefully some of those people will progress up there.
I would love to see that. So, Mark Henry is in Stephanie's office, and he's basically like, I'm going to the Olympics. I want one more run. You know, I'm going as the real ambassador of WWE, you know, Synergy, you know, WWE and all that stuff, and Universal. So he's like, all right, we're going to give you one more chance against Rusev. Now, Rusev beats Henry, and of course with Lana as his new wife, which they filmed for Total Divas. Okay.
Rusev Crush!
We get Roman Reigns' new target, which is Roman, which is Rusev, and Reigns wins the segment. Hey, Carl, how are you? Are you here yet?
Hi there.
Hi there. Got a question for you. As we're
working. Yes, sir.
I've got a question. Reigns' target as Rusev. We all know he's still being demoted a little bit for the whole steroid thing, or at least the whatever it was. Do you like him being here? Do you like where he's set up?
Well, he has to learn a lesson, and this is going to be a definite squash.
Okay. You think Rusev wins this?
Yes.
I think he sort of has to. I'm in complete agreement with Carl on this. I think Rusev is not only going to have to win, he's going to have to win convincingly. Again, going up to building up your upper card, you need a dominant heel. Someone that's going to challenge Finn Balor, because I think Finn Balor is going to take out Seth Rollins. I'm going to call it right here. I think Finn Balor is going to be your new champion.
I'm with you here. I'm with you 100%. I'm with you because I think they're going to elevate Finn Balor because, as we know, Finn Balor was Prince Devitt in New Japan, and he's a worldwide star. You make him the title holder, and then you have Finn Balor and Dean Ambrose, and or Dolph Ziggler, which we'll get to in a minute, as your champions for the moment. Very interesting stuff.
Well, the WWE now gets global presence. You go from local, and it's crazy to say that federal is local, but in this case, you go from local to global with, again, Prince Devitt, a.k.a. Finn Balor, as a star, which now you can put him anywhere. You can send him off to Japan. You can send him off to other parts of Asia, and he'll be fine. I think he's going to beat Seth Rollins. I'm going to call him up for the upset. Mm-hmm. And that being said, assuming that he gets past Rollins in the return match, which he probably will, you've got to put him up against a dominant heel. So I can actually even see Rusev beating up Roman Reigns just to build him up so that when he eventually does lose the title, he can go immediately after Finn Balor.
Shotgun, do you like where Reigns is right now?
Well, they need to give him something to do. I don't think WWE has given up on him yet. I think they're like, okay, well, this main event push clearly did not work. He is not over to the level we wanted him to be. Let's just give him something to do, develop a little more off, a little more, give him a little rougher edge or something like that, and then eventually, once the heat's died down, he can go,
I cannot disagree with you more. I'm sorry. That's clearly why they didn't put him in this program. They put him in this program having nothing to do with that. Right now, you have Roman Reigns as your tweener. He is not over. If anything, he's getting mercilessly booed. Yep. And not booed in a good way. You're getting him booed in a bad way.
Yep.
This is supposed to be your hero. This is supposed to be your next Hulk Hogan. This is supposed to be your lone wolf. How do you make him a good guy? You put him up against the biggest, evilest heel that Raw has right now.
Well, which is Rusev, Raw, yes.
SmackDown,
but
Raw,
that is in fact my point.
Okay.
But it's not really it's not Edge, though. You're not trying to give him an Edge. You're trying to make him good. You're trying to make him the good guy. So it's got nothing to do with edging him or sending him down. It's got to do with he's got to be a hero. You put him against the villains, and you can't make him a tweener now.
But
a tweener doesn't work with him. He's got to be a good guy.
But the thing is, the thing of it is, the reason, besides the fact that it was so obvious they were trying to make him like the big man, the big guy on campus, I think a big part of the reason that everybody rejected Roman Reigns so much as like the top babyface was because they tried to paint him as, John Cena, Hijo del John Cena, basically.
I think they tried to shove him down your throat.
Yep, that's
this
true.
This is the good guy. This is the person you're supposed to root for.
It did not help that he essentially was Hijo del John Cena.
Yes, Hijo del Don Cena. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, do you really want your top babyface to go around talking about suffering succotash?
No, you don't.
That's the kind of thing that makes you actively ashamed to watch wrestling.
No, exactly. And he was clearly and still clearly is a dud on the microphone. And yes. He still is terrible on the microphone. And the one thing about Hulk Hogan, and keep in mind that all these good guys were bad guys before they became their iconic good guy, and you just took their shtick and moved it over into a good guy role. Again, Hulk Hogan was a villain. Stone Cold Steve Austin was the ringmaster, and he was a villain. Rocky Maivia, before he became Rocky Johnson, before he became The Rock, was a good guy. And then he got booed out of the building, and then he turned into a villain, and then he used his villain shtick, and it got over, and people liked him and respected him, and then he turned into a hero. You don't have any sort of shtick with Roman Reigns because he is terrible behind the high microphone. If you want to talk about a manager, if you want to talk about somebody that Paul E. Dangerously / Paul Heyman needs to get behind, you need, and this would be a sick idea, but it would be a lot of fun. If you can get Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns as a tag team, Paul Heyman.
We will get to that.
And you have Paul Heyman behind the mic.
But then they now would actually something. Be good guys because Brock Lesnar gets babyface reactions, but Brock Lesnar is clearly not a babyface.
And that's my point exactly. That's how you align him. If you have him against Rusev and all of a sudden Paul Heyman pops up. You know, again, Paul Heyman is now a good guy. He's supposed to be a heel manager. He's actually a good guy manager because of his client, Brock Lesnar. And you better believe that when he comes after the title, and that's another reason why Seth Rollins will not win it, because you've got to set up, and again, it's the funny thing is that you have Brock Lesnar versus the Viper Randy Orton.
Yeah.
And that's going to be an interesting face versus face confrontation right there.
It's going to be very interesting, and let me move on because we got a lot to cover. So let me go on.
I know, I'm stealing your thunder. I apologize.
Yes, you are, but that's okay. That's what you do. Because
I'm haterade for a reason.
No, Carl. We know this. Everybody brings the host off track, so it's just this.
Gordon, wah, wah, wah.
Thank you, JBL.
Thank you,
JBL.
Next topic, please, sir.
Yes, we had a Nia Jax promo, and again, another Nia Jax squash, as you said.
Jax, murder, death, kills her opponent.
Yes, she did. Yes, murder, death, kill. And Byron interviewed her after the match and basically saying, this is how you feel. Boom. Okay. We have a little bit of a Sheamus Cesaro feud. We have an interesting primetime players sort of a feud with Titus O'Neil being a little heelish, so to speak.
At least they found something for them to do about friggin' time.
Exactly. The New Day gets pretty friggin' dirty with the banana and the peaches. Gordon appreciated that one. I thought I did.
I feel dirty, but it was a good dirty.
Yes. What happens is that the New Day beat the club with Xavier banned from ringside. B.E. got quote-unquote injured. Again, storyline. Sheamus and Cesaro, Cesaro wins with the neutralizer and Sheamus and Cesaro brawl. They have something to do. We talked about Mahal and Slater. Interesting, we also have Jericho and Owens maybe tagging soon. Now,
New Day needs some opponents. You got the New Day, you got the club, you got the Canadians if you want to look at it that way.
Yep. So, now, the Lesnar promo at the end. I want to talk about this for a couple of reasons. First of all, we had heard rumors that Paul Heyman was on the outs with the WWE. And we all know that with Lesnar's failed drug tests with the USADA after UFC 200, we knew something was going to happen. Carl, I'll ask you this first. Were you surprised that the WWE and Heyman made a deal?
No.
Okay.
No.
Not at
it
all.
It wasn't the WWE and Heyman. It was Brock / WWE and Heyman.
Yes, because Brock said, I need him. Make it happen.
Yeah, and Brock Lesnar is smart. You need someone like Paul Heyman behind him. Brock Lesnar is not exactly the most articulate person behind the mic. Heyman is the perfect foil with him over there. And again, you, and that's one of the reasons why you need a good manager on here, even in this day and age, because you protect the people that are not very good behind the mic. For argument's sake, Jimmy Hart was great because if you've ever heard Greg the Hammer Valentine or Haku, when he was with Jimmy Hart and then when he was with Bobby Heenan, these aren't good mic people. So you put the managers behind him who are very good mic people. So again, stick Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman. I think that would be fantastic.
That would be great. So I have.
Actually, I have a better idea.
Go ahead.
Roman Reigns comes to the ring with his new manager, Armando.
No,
Alejandro.
No.
No.
No. But you also didn't notice that Roman's clothes is, his shield is now red, not white, which is also a very interesting color change. Now, I have to ask, though, you noticed that we, of course, we had the RKO out of nowhere at the end. We also, two things.
That was fun, by the way.
Because it was shot right.
Yes.
Because it was, from a production standpoint, it was shot right. Second of all, did you also notice they kept the test very, you know, the failed test not in the promo at all, you know?
I mean, why would they mention it? Nobody wants to admit that their top star was tagged for doing, that one of their top stars was tagged for doing steroids. Hello?
Yeah, of course not. Of course not.
Sorry, I thought I got cut off.
No, you did not. So what happened was is that, you know, you had the RKO out of nowhere and everyone's going, holy crap, you know, we were supposed to have security, you know, and all that sort of stuff. So on SmackDown the next night, Shane and Brian offered, you know, tons of independent wrestlers, a.k.a. security, to try and make sure that that didn't happen. Where Lesnar did not attack Orton. Well, what happened was that after the Fandango and Orton match, whoops, Lesnar with the F5, he gone. He left with Paul Heyman. I gotta tell you, I love this interpromotional stuff with this is pretty good. I like it because it makes the match more important, right, guys? Anybody?
Yeah, because it was already set before the brand split.
Yep, exactly. So we have a number one contenders match for later on tonight for the Intercontinental Belt between Kalisto, Apollo Crews, and Baron Corbin. So
actually, before we continue, I did want to make one note about the Orton Lesnar feud.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, so basically, it's just my opinion, but what needs to happen is over the next couple of weeks, Randy Orton needs to be booked as much of a killer as possible. Like always on, always on, always killing people. Because right now, as good as he is, and I like Randy Orton. I consider myself a fan of his work. Right now, nobody believes that he's not going to get killed by Brock Lesnar.
I think he's going to be Brock Lesnar, and I think Brock Lesnar will kill. This match, to me, there's got to be something there that happens. This is a match that I don't think that's going to end clean. I think something crazy and goofy is going to happen. Whether that means someone comes in, whether or not that means you see some sort of reformation, whether or not Paul Heyman has another wrestler on the stable, because you just don't bring in Paul Heyman to a new contract and only manage one person. I can't imagine that. There's got to be something else that happens here.
Well,
hopefully
we'll see.
Roman Reigns shows up and says hello.
Could be. We don't know. We don't know. But again, it began.
Well, right now you don't have. I'm sorry, Jay.
I was about to say, it was noted that the only big four pay-per-views, which are SummerSlam, Rumble, Survivor Series, WrestleMania, are going to have these interpromotional matches. Because the first, I believe it's SmackDown only pay-per-view, will be September 11th, and that's going to be Backlash. So we're going to see where that goes from there, because they've only going to have 3 weeks to promote that. So Lesnar is probably going to be out till, I'm guessing, Survivor Series. So we don't know necessarily what's going to happen with that. So Ambrose, Ambrose plays a little bit heelish as the champ, basically telling Ziggler that, you know, he's not as good as him and all that sort of stuff. And then we have Bray Wyatt hit Sister Abigail and sets up a match for his number one contender. Okay.
Well, you know what it almost feels like to me? It almost feels like Ziggler's going to take the title. And the reason being is that if you make Dean Ambrose a heel, and now all of a sudden you have Dolph Ziggler with a fresh new set of opponents and a fresh new set of matches that he can do some stuff with. Keep in mind, we've already seen Ambrose versus Bray Wyatt, which led to some of the weirdest, most convoluted matches on the face of the earth. If you want to make, again, if you want to elevate your card, and if you want to elevate your top headliners, you almost need to make a title switch here with Dolph Ziggler being the pure babyface, beating up on Dean Ambrose, and then that, of course, sets up Ziggler versus Bray Wyatt, and I think Bray Wyatt will win the title eventually, sooner rather than later, because he's too good not to have a title. You realize Bray Wyatt has never had a title in the WWE.
Not yet, and he should, and I agree with you on this.
And I think he will get it, and I think he will get that version of the heavyweight title.
All right, going back.
Keep in mind, most of the Wyatts are on SmackDown, which means that him and Eric Rowan and Luke, whenever Luke decides to show up, they're all going to be there.
That's true, but I'm just going to get to that call for a second, though. But we had a little bit of a scary moment in that number one contenders match where Wyatt rolled his ankle and sprained it. You saw the ref's X, right? Carl? All right, well, all right. Shotgun, you...
No, I think that's happened. I've seen
that. No, hold on. Okay. Shotgun, you saw the ref's X, right?
Yeah, I did. I managed to catch most of the highlights of the match itself.
Yeah, I mean, because right now they may take him off this weekend's programming to rest the ankle, if it's that bad. Okay, because it was bothering him during the time of the match. That would be pretty sucky, because he's had a history of ankle problems, and that would suck. But I will tell you, Ziggler wrestled an awesome match with that. Okay. And I like the fire Ziggler has now with the number one, you know, with as the number one contender. I think it's great. Go ahead. You first.
My only real problem with Dolph Ziggler, and it just always feels like when I watch his match, it's you know, it's his match. You know, it never feels like he's working with the guy. It feels like he's just all like, I'm just going to go ahead and do my match. And if the guy can keep up with me, great. And if he can't, well, shit.
Well, I'm not necessarily on that. But anyway, moving on. We have Apollo Crews becoming the number one contender with a roll-up on Kalisto. And then we're probably setting up a tag match next week, where Baron Corbin attacks Kalisto, Cruz defends Kalisto, but gets the skull-crushing finale from Miz. So you're going to get, my guess, next week, Corbin and Miz versus Kalisto and Cruz, pretty much, right? Right, guys?
Yay.
Yeah. Now,
yeah.
But here's interesting. Here was the most interesting thing. So Eva Marie, okay, good Lord, gets this spectacular entrance. I mean, you know, I'm the greatest female wrestler of all time, and then blows out her ankle.
I thought that was fantastic, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, it was.
I laughed hysterically.
Yes.
I thought that was great.
Yes.
Best way to get heel heat.
That's the way. That's how you do it.
Keep in mind, Eva Marie's latest stint over in NXT, she got showered with booze.
Yes, she got showered. Yes, exactly. So we also had the debut of American Alpha for defeating the Vaudevillians. I gotta ask you, Shotgun, how much potential does the American Alpha have? Because they're awesome, I think. They're great.
Oh no, they definitely know what they're doing in the ring. I thought that as lauded as NXT TakeOver Dallas was, I think that in the hype of Joe versus Balor and Zayn versus Nakamura, that it felt as though the tag team match was kind of underrated by comparison, which I think it deserves a lot more praise than it got. That's just me.
You're right. Were you guys watching the same match that I was watching on Tuesday?
Which one? Alpha versus the Vaudevillians?
Mm-hmm.
Why? What'd you think? Not so good?
Sloppy, sloppy, sloppy. sloppy, sloppy.
Well, it was a little. It was a little sloppy. I'm just saying that they had the potential to be something great.
They, you know what they remind me of, and this is not a good comparison at all. They remind me of this generation's Strike Force.
Too early to tell. Okay, but I understand where you're getting the reference from.
Hey, we did a move correctly. Yay, let's dance. Whee! All right, we did another move sort of correctly. Forget the fact that we almost dropped him on his head. But hey, we almost sort of correctly did it. Hey, let's run through the ropes and stick our heads in and act like the bushwhackers and lift our arms up and down. Yay, maybe the crowd will like us. Whee!
Well,
yuck. Sorry, I'm the Simon Cowell today. And actually, I apologize. No, I don't apologize. It was sloppy. It's not the best debut in the world, I thought. They didn't scream to me, this is your new tag team champions. This screamed to me, gee, I really hope the authors of Pain walk in the door and do total elimination on them.
Oh, boy.
And to add on to Gordon's point, the team that they face, they shouldn't even be on the main roster right now.
Well, you know what? They should be on the main roster, but again, and part of the problem with the old regime, they had no personality. You know, they have the same problem with him like Apollo Crews. They failed to give them a personality or a reason why we should care about them.
Or
they're going to go right back down to NXT and solo Apollo Crews.
Yes, or as Daniel Bryan called him, Apollo Creed.
Exactly.
Jesus.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm referring to the Vaudevillains, of course.
Yes, of course. So we had, I think, the best promo, the press promo of the week, AJ Styles and John Cena. Now, John Cena basically gave his usual, you know, AJ Styles and Cena came back and forth. They basically say Cena was basically did his usual, I'm passionate, I'm here, yada, yada, blah, blah, which was great, was very good. And Styles was usually, you know, beat up John Cena. I don't like the kids. I don't like the parents. And we're going to get Styles Cena 3 this time, one-on-one, we think.
If I said that AJ Styles is my favorite wrestler behind the mic right now, will anyone beat me up for that?
No.
No, I will not. I will agree with you.
No, not at all, because he's
my favorite wrestler in the WWE right now by a mile, and there's no one in my mind that's close. That's how good he is behind the mic.
Well, you want
he is that good?
Yeah, he is. I mean, Styles is awesome because he's just so smarmy right now.
But he was really good behind the mic when he was a face as well. He's really good behind the mic, and you know, for me, Dean Ambrose is a very close second. I think Dean Ambrose's mic work is masterful as well. Which is one of the reasons why this is going to be a fun match when we get to see Dean Ambrose versus AJ Styles round 2. And right now, I really hope that Ambrose gets past John Cena and we see AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose. That's a match that's dying to happen. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
I am actually, you know, I remember a time when AJ Styles was not so great behind the mic. I am very pleased that whatever happened in Japan, his mic work has improved drastically over the days when he lorded over TNA.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, keep in mind, again, when you go to WWE and when you spend all the time with them, you're behind the best. You're with the best. You now have Triple H and others guiding you behind the mic and everywhere else.
Hmm. So, and by the way, we're going to have a little WLTI crossover because of John Cena for a second. His show American Grit got renewed for a second season.
And you know what? Good for him. I wasn't the biggest fan of that show, but it's a very cheap show to produce. And for what it is, it's a great move from Fox, and it's an even better move from WWE.
Well, hopefully WWE will promote it this time, because they didn't the last time. Not at all.
They probably still have, like, war flashbacks to Downfall.
Yeah, well.
They didn't stop him from the Aspie mentions, though.
No, they did not. Well, no, they did not. Or the Teen Choice Awards, which they talked about, which is also on Fox.
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah.
So, you remember we were talking about Heath Slater with Nowhere. She's in Daniel Bryan's office, and he says, you know, I have this opponent, and I want you to wrestle this guy for a contract next week. And it just turns out to be Rhino who gores him through the office. after winning.
Which was great, by the way.
That was great. And Brian says, we need a medic now.
Tell you what, at 40, that guy can still go.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He's got a little bit of an issue because he actually won his primary in Michigan.
It's a red state, blue state crossover topic there.
Yep. He won the seat for the Michigan state legislature. He's got a little uphill battle because it's a Democratic district, but good on him. Good. Good for you. So then we had, of course, another Dean Ambrose promo. Another match that didn't happen because Carmella attacked Natalia. Natalia interrupted Carmella in the SmackDown, this Talking Smack set. And we had Carmella actually getting put in the sharpshooter before the match. Now, I just have a question, though. Is it a little surprising that the two NXT women did not even get to wrestle this week? I mean, Eva Marie we get because it was this, you know, heat magnet thing that we were dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you're talking about Becky Lynch also, no, not a surprise. I mean, if she doesn't get to wrestle and she's wrestling Becky Lynch and it's there, I think you need Becky Lynch to go overboard. I think you need her to completely snap and change her from the happy-go-lucky last kicker to MDK, murder, death, kill. I can't wait to get my hands on you. No, I thought I was hysterical. I was laughing my butt off. But at the same time, no, you definitely had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Got to set it up. We actually have storyline and character development. Who would have thought it?
Right. And again, We have another tag team set up for the main event because Ziggler won it with the super kick, and Eric Rowan decides to attack Ziggler, and Ambrose and Ziggler are laying. So we're probably going to get a little bit of
each other.
No. And we're going to get a Wyatt family sort of reunion next week. So, which show won the week? I'll ask you first, Carl. Who had the better show this week?
Well, last week it was kind of tough for me at first. I ultimately went with Raw. Everybody else pretty much chose Raw. This week it was Raw, hands down. Not even close.
Shotgun, what do you think?
Raw. No question.
Gordon?
It was definitely Raw, and I think it's going to be Raw for a while because you would have to think the way that they drafted everybody, Raw right now is still going to be your premier show. SmackDown, even though they have your world champion and they have some of the better top pieces, they don't have the full show set up like they did with Raw. And part of what SmackDown needs to do, and as you can see they're doing it, is, again, character development. You have a lot of Raw young pieces on SmackDown that they have to flesh out. Again, you have Apollo Crews, you've got Becky Lynch, you've got these pieces that need personality attached to it. So it's going to take SmackDown time to develop, but I think they will. But right now, next 2 months is definitely going to Raw.
Okay, we'll see. Of course, we're going to talk a little bit about some injuries, as we talked about Bray Wyatt. Jimmy Uso was dealing with a shoulder injury. Paige is off the Australian-New Zealand tour with a little bit of a back and neck injury.
Off the grid again, so.
Yeah, exactly. However, here's an interesting, I'm going to talk some legal briefs before we sort of kind of wrap it up here, but this is going to take a while a little bit. Everyone's remembers the Hulk Hogan, Gawker trial. Okay.
How could we forget?
Yep.
As much as we really want to, because no one really wants to see Hulk Hogan naked.
No, we don't. But the thing was, is that Nick Denton, the owner of Gawker, has filed for personal bankruptcy. Okay.
As expected. I'm sorry to say that.
Yeah. After a Florida court ruled that Hulk Hogan can move forward with claiming his assets after Hogan successfully sued them. And he wrote on Twitter, "On this bitter day for me, I am consoled by the fact that my colleagues will be soon be freed by this tech billionaire's vendetta." The tech billionaire in question was Peter Thiel, because he was the one who bankrolled Hogan's lawsuit after Gawker outed him without his permission back in the day. Not a surprise there, right, Jay?
Nope. And you know what? It's really sorry to feel badly for anybody in this, because they both have their own little personal demons. I don't have to go through Hulk Hogan and his affiliation with people of color. I don't have to go through Gawker and their reputation of burying people under a big yellow bus. The bus definitely being of yellow or of brown or maybe of African-American descent.
Yep.
Depending on the color that you'd like to bury Hulk Hogan under. So it's not really... You can't really feel bad for either of them. You just shake your head disgustedly and shrug your shoulders and say, okay, next.
Yeah.
I feel badly for the people at Gawker that lose their jobs because of this, but at the same time, because they all let this run and nobody really said anything or not enough people said anything to go, you know, maybe this is not really a good idea. I don't feel that badly for them.
No. But the last big thing I wanted to talk about before we get into plugs, because, you know, I mean, we're getting into this sort of thing, is because you do know that in Pennsylvania, Jimmy Snuka is on trial for the murder of his then-girlfriend in 1983 named Angie D'Argentino. So what happened was is that on Tuesday, both the prosecutor and the defense basically said that the charges should be dropped because he is literally non compos mentis. He's not competent to stand trial.
His brain has turned into poi.
Yes, and it's not good. However, the Lehigh County judge basically said no, and they're going to revisit the case this December. The district attorney requested because the judge had previously shot down an attempt to have Snuka hospitalized. The district attorney also previously filed a motion that asking Snuka be on a 60-day outpatient treatment to see if his mental health issues can be improved to the point where he could one day stand trial. That he said that if the judge didn't believe Snuka's issues would improve, there would be no point in maintaining the charges. The defense attorney said, also pushed for the dismissal, saying that his mental issues have worsened and he no longer recognizes his wife. Okay.
That would be bad, by the way.
Yes, and also he supposedly has been battling stomach cancer. The judge, however, said she would not dismiss, but that they would maintain they would reconvene in December to discuss Snuka's mental state. But if new evidence were why the charges should be dropped, would he introduce before then, she would consider it. I got to ask you, Gordon, he's never going to stand trial for this, is he?
No, he's not. I find this thing sad. I find this sad in terms of depressing. And it's too bad and it's a shame, but it is the price that wrestlers pay. And if you've ever seen the movie The Wrestler, you know, it alludes to this throughout the movie. And of course, Bret Hart wrestling with shadows and all that other stuff that's attached to it. No, I don't think it's ever going to see the light of day. I don't even know if Jimmy Snuka is going to live to see the light of day.
He might not even survive this year.
No, he may not, and he may not either because of his soon-to-be dementia or because he just offs himself off, and that would be a tragedy within itself. But again, you're putting your body through this, and it's a really sad state. But it's not like football where you can take people on a concussion and it's and you have the tests and you have to sit out for 3 to 4 weeks. You know, wrestling is one of those things where you're putting your body on the line, and every single match that you have, you're going to be dealing with stuff. Don't forget, half of the finishers that are out there right now, you have between headbutts from the top rope and pile drivers and DDTs and things that are there to have your brain rattle around in your head like it was a gumball in a gumball machine.
Yeah.
It's terrible, and I don't think this will be the last time that you hear somebody like this happening to.
Carl, what do you think on this? Have you followed this?
Yeah, I'm with Gordon, and I couldn't say any better than he just did. I'll add this though. You have to wonder how many concussions he's had. He's got to be in the hundreds, even maybe close to 1,000.
Got
to
remember, his finishing move was a headbutt. Finishing move was a headbutt.
Yeah.
And look what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Actually, to be frank and be quite honest, I'm kind of surprised he's still alive.
Yeah. Shotgun, your thoughts on this?
Honestly, I think the judge is wasting her time.
Yeah, I'm with you on this because
she's not just her time. She's wasting everybody's time with this because it's at this point. Even if he did kill her, and I am not condoning this for a second, he should be punished. Well, he should have been when he was still sane enough for it to matter. It's like now he's just literally knocking on death's door at this point. There's no point in continuing this trial. Because there's not going to be a point when Jimmy Snuka is just going to magically be like, oh, wait, I'm competent. I was guilty.
No, it's not going to be that way, no. And it's just, it's really one of those things where you just feel sad for everybody all around. And it's just... it's tough, but let us review, because I'm going to do this right here. Let us review the SummerSlam 2016 card as we know it right now. We have 6 matches scheduled, and there will probably be more. We talked about Brock Lesnar versus Randy Orton, Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose versus Dolph Ziggler, Sasha Banks versus Charlotte, The Miz versus Apollo Crews, and Cena versus AJ Styles. We've got 6 matches, and we've got 3 weeks, and it's going to be a 4-hour show. So how?
Yeah, there'll be more than 6.
There'll be more. Do you see? Can you, Gordon? Give me a couple of matches. We'll probably see.
We'll probably be discussing Rusev defending against Roman Reigns. Obviously, that's going to come up. You may see, I'm going to predict, Goldust versus R-Truth. Or that blow-off could be happening at SummerSlam when one of them turns heel on the other, even though I think it will happen before that. It wouldn't shock me to see the Authors of Pain show up and get a call-up. That may be a little bit too early. You'll probably have American Alpha go up against Shining Stars.
What about the Club versus New Day for the titles?
Yeah, well, definitely Club versus New Day for the titles.
And I think the Club takes it.
I do too. But even though the interesting thing is this, though, you really don't have much depth on the good guy chart because the Club is clearly heels. So I can see that if the Club takes it, you're still going to see the Club and New Day fighting a little bit for it.
With Enzo and Cass as well.
I think eventually you'll see Enzo and Cass, but again, you don't have much depth on the good guy chart over in SmackDown, so you need a couple more teams. Obviously, American Alpha will help that also. But again, that's only 3 teams.
Hmm. But, Carl, do you see anything else that we missed so far?
No, not really. You mentioned it. It's a 4-hour show, and that is one just to...
Oh, Becky Lynch versus Eva Marie, and you have to have Natalya in there against...
Carmella.
Yeah. But just to remind people who follow this podcast, we do live cap the Big 4, so this will be one of them.
Yeah, so that will be 2 weeks from Sunday, which we move into plugs.
21st, here. Yes.
Let's move into plugs, shall we? Gordon, of course, we did an episode, you were there for part of it, of We Love to Interrupt, which was kind of fun. We talked about last Sunday, et cetera, et cetera. And,
I don't know what's going to be coming on first, but I am thrilled to say that Spectrum One has joined forces with the Underground Bowling Association. And we just taped episode 1 of our new show with them called The Panel.
Oh, cool.
That will be coming up hopefully soon. We're going to start with between a 60 and 90 minute edition. We went through the bylaws. We have a bunch of different personalities. We've had people from New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Virginia, and North Carolina as part of our first podcast. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you're not into the Underground Bowling Association, definitely check it out. It is a group. There's over 7,000 people that are involved. Hopefully, we'll be doing a lot more with the UBA as time goes on.
That is awesome. Shotgun, when is your next show? For what promotion are you working for? In the whole nine yards, please.
As of now, I don't have a definite date as of yet. I've had to deal with a lot of things such as, you know, just a lot of personal issues I've had to deal with.
Okay, sure.
It's called IRL. There you go.
Yeah. But rest assured, I will be back in the ring sooner rather than later.
Yes, that'll be cool. Carl, let's talk football and some other podcasts we're dealing with here.
Yes, sir. We recorded an episode of the BS Big Show the other night. Catching up, everybody, on training camp news, some signings, some contract extensions. Ooh, boy.
Ooh, boy. And this Tuesday, we'll talk about the Hall of Fame game, the ceremony, and we'll get into preseason big time because it's football season is upon us. Football season is
Sunday night is the Hall of Fame game on ESSSS. Yes.
Yes, that is correct. Jim is still under the weather. Get well soon, buddy. And we did another episode with DC as host of Touch 'Em All with Jess Brand and a bunch of others.
Guest, yes.
Yes, and they talked about the Hall of Fame ceremony and a bunch of other things. Pixel Nation will be back this week after a week off, and I believe we're going to take another week off.
A week off because Vegas, yes.
Yes, and
talk about Vegas, Jay.
Yeah, we'll talk about Vegas. Gordon, you could talk about Vegas because we did something pretty cool about that too.
Well, Vegas is going to be, I believe, well, Jason came back from, hey, I won a Purple Troll. And the I Want a Purple Troll convention, and I know. In all seriousness, that actually sounded like a fun convention that you went to, which
it was awesome. It was great.
To do that. I will not be part of what Chico's doing, and what Chico was here that he could explain it. But they're going to be doing Takana Trivia Championships in North America. They're going to be doing the Game Show Marathon West. I will be in Delaware covering Battle Bowl. Hopefully, again, something that we can do with Spectrum One, but there'll probably be cameras and other stuff there that will be covering it. Spectrum One, though, is going to be doing, hopefully, some interviews with some of the UBA contenders that could possibly be involved in the match. So that should be some fun. A lot of fun.
But of course, we did an interview with Tony Hightower and Jamie Rosler.
Well, you guys did the interview with Tony Hightower.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We did that, and that should be up on the site right now.
And that should be, if you haven't listened to the interview, please do so. It is a lot of fun. And it really is a nice insight into people that are not only behind the camera but are in front of it in terms of gaming. And as much as I'm going to toot my own horn here, I really listen to what they talk about in terms of being a contestant, because as someone like myself that looks for people to be contestants, they pretty much give you a primer as to what people like me are looking for. So it's definitely an important lesson.
And you can believe it or not, if you can find the way to get to Vegas next week, you can get Tikona.org, and you could register for then. Okay.
I thought I heard something about them maybe doing some contestant auditions out there for them.
Yeah, well, they actually are going to have
something. Possibly?
Possibly, maybe, with a certain show that I've been on. Yeah, that one, yeah.
Yeah, and Brian's hoping he can get to
it. A certain one that possibly has moved over to Las Vegas for this season?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also been a show that I've been on.
Yes.
Yes, you have.
Except I had a better percentage ratio. Actually, no, we had the same question-answering percentage ratio that you and I both had.
Yes, exactly.
And you had the cool host for yours.
Yes.
And I had the best host ever for mine.
That's right. That would be Terry Crews. But, and of course, Red State, Blue State, as I said, has been in hiatus, but I think we need to get back on the trail because stuff has gotten real in a lot of different ways. But we'll get to that.
One of the things that I said when I was part of Red State, Blue State, even though that episode never made it on the air, I said, as a Democrat, I would love to see the Donald get the Republican nomination. And now you understand why I have said
yes,
that.
Yes, I agree. I understand. And, of course, you can listen to all the shows here on Spectrum1.net, of course, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, Player.fm, Overcast, iTunes, Google Play Music, pretty much anywhere you can get pretty much streaming music, you can find it. Just look us up.
And the RSS feed, yeah.
Yes, and believe it or not, Gordon, for just a little WLTI, 6 weeks till the fall season starts. This is insane.
Whee!
You know, they thought the summer's over, but the summer's just begun. And, you know,
I was going to say, the summer hasn't really over yet. I mean, it's August, but you got to remember with Price is Right going on in October and Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune churning out episodes in, I think, late September. I don't think it's early September. I think it's later September, right?
The September 12th or September 19th is
all right.
They come back. And I believe Let's Make a Deal and Price is Right come back September 19th. And
we're still doing America's Got Talent.
We still have
Big Brother going on. Yeah, no, there's absolutely nothing to do around here during the summer.
Nothing, of course.
Nothing to do.
And I didn't mention, of course, Pyramid and Match Game.
Yes,
and
we got
Family Feud and the fact that they all got renewed for another season. Congratulations to all
of them.
Yes,
to them. Yeah, excuse me. Mm-hmm. The summer hit was there. Okay.
Yeah.
And I can say we told you so. Can I think we say that? I think we can say that.
I think you can.
We told you so,
yeah. And real quick, Jay, a bunch of WLTI is going to pop up here and there.
Yeah.
Very soon.
But again, I'm going to take it home here because Nikki should be back in the home seat this next week because she'll be back from Gen Con, hopefully with a lot of dice, a lot less money, and a lot more stories to tell. Thank you, Gordon, for coming. We want you back. You brought a lot of good knowledge this week. Thank you very much for that.
Oh, thank you for having me. I would love to be back.
Okay, and of course, for Carl, for Shotgun, for me, and for everyone here at Spectrum One, this is Jason Block saying we'll be back next week. Take care.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.